if they planned this lesson or not, according to the time and the season. But today our lesson is on created to worship. We are created to worship, but it's dealing with thankfulness, praise, and worship all together. And we just passed that holiday that makes us concentrate on being thankful. I hope that we are thankful for more than just that one day of the year. Sometimes I wonder if that some people, that's the only time they really think about being thankful. I don't know. I hope not. I hope not. I always want to be thankful. Have you ever been in a situation where you're doing something for someone and they just don't show any thankfulness? It's hard to go back and do something else for them. Because it's not that we want this big head. We shouldn't ever want that. God will make sure that we're not. but it's so important to be thankful, because when someone is thankful at us, it makes us want to give more. It makes us want to do more. I don't know if, actually, I think the lesson will bear out that God likes thankfulness. And he gives more and does more when we are thankful for him. Our text is in Psalm 150. The focus verse is Psalm 150 and verse 6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Yes, amen. What a great Sunday school lesson to lead into worship. I'm looking forward to worship and the service this afternoon. The big idea is I will praise the Lord. And should it be an absolute declaration that I will praise the Lord, not that I'm just, I'll praise the Lord. But it's a declaration that we will praise the Lord. And the truth about God in this lesson is God designed creation to worship him. Not just us, but creation. And creation worships him, but we were created specifically to worship him. That is our main purpose in life. They say, I want to go to heaven. That's a goal out there. But our purpose is to worship the Lord. I started out in the dictionary, and again, my books are all packed, most of them, and so I don't have that big, dictionary. So I use the app on my phone, and I looked up thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Are they interchangeable in your mind? Sometimes they're a little bit interchangeable in my mind. But I believe that there's some difference between them. Thanksgiving, the act of giving thanks. Grateful acknowledgement of benefits or favors, especially to God. Isn't that awesome? That is the verbiage that they used in the dictionary app. I didn't embellish it. Praise, the act of expressing approval or admiration. The offering of grateful homage in words or song as an act of worship. And then worship is reverent honor and homage paid to God. And then they added this. They said, or a sacred personage or any object regarded as sacred. You know what that says about us? We, as created beings, created by the God we were designed to worship, it says to us that we will worship something. And God wants us to worship Him alone. So that declaration that we can make, I will praise the Lord, is a declaration that, this is somewhere else in the lesson, and I may or may not have written it down, but in the book, it's another place in the lesson. But right now, right here, I think it fits right here, in the Shema, Deuteronomy 6, and we concentrate on verse 4. But verse 4, Brother Mike, what is it? The Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, was not that they, so they could remember it. It was just like I did with the verse or the statement, our focus is that I will praise the Lord, and I will praise the Lord is that Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. It was a declaration to everyone around them that they were the people of God, and they made that statement day in and day out. The question is whether or not they actually made it as a declaration all the time, or if it just became, oh, it's what we did. We do it in the morning, we do it middle of the day, we do it in the evening, we do it bedtime, we do it all these times of the day, and it becomes rote. And if we are not careful, even our praise, our thankfulness, our praise, and our worship can become just what we do and not heartfelt. We are designed to worship Him. We were created to worship Him. Nature worships God. Psalm 8. Psalm 8, verses 3 through 9 specifically. I love this chapter. There's a lot of psalms I love, and there's a lot of scriptures everywhere that I love, and it's not always easy for me to pick a favorite. But Psalm 8, written by David, and yes, as a young man growing up in Israel, he did go to studies and learn the Word of God. But I really think that he learned more about God out in the fields taking care of the sheep, because nature taught him about God. Verse 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, it's just the work of his fingers. He just, well, we know he spoke it into existence, but just the work of his fingers. The moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. And then David said, what is man? Who are we? That thou art mindful of him, and the son of man, that thou visitest him. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. This is talking about us. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Do we really realize that? Do we have dominion? Do we claim dominion? Thou hast put all things under his feet. All things are under our feet. In life, it often feels like everything is over us and heavy upon us. But God says that all things are under our feet. All sheep and oxen, those domesticated animals. yea, and all the beasts of the field. Those things that can frighten us. Those things that we don't like to walk in dark places because we're afraid of what might come at us. Those things are under us. The fowl of the air and the fish of the sea and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. Those imaginary or maybe not imaginary beasts that we often like to think dwell in the sea. Job talks about Leviathan, a beast in the sea. There's a lot of folklore about that. But even those imaginary, scary things are under our feet. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. What is man? Well, we are a little lower than the angels. But everything else, when we're in him, is under our feet. That's who we are. And that's who God wants us to act like. That's who God wants us to be every moment of every day. Everything is under our dominion. Our body was designed, uniquely designed, to worship him. You know how I said, I will praise the Lord, and that makes a statement? But you say, oh, yeah, I might praise the Lord. Or I could praise the Lord. Or should I praise the Lord? We can take a statement. And our brains and our context of feeling and emotions and the text that we put it in, our brains can change a statement all around. And it can mean very different thing. But when we were designed, like I said just a few minutes ago in introduction here, we were designed by God to worship God. And there is a part of us that wants to worship. We can never get away from the desire to worship. Because God put us together and created us to worship. It's then our choice what we will worship and how we will worship. Psalm 139 and 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And marvelous are thy works. Yes, the works in us are marvelous, but the works of God are marvelous. But we were fearfully and wonderfully made. And that my soul knoweth right well. Do you know right well that you were fearfully and wonderfully made? Do you have questions about how you were made? Do you have questions about what you were made for? God wants us to be confident in what we were made for. He wants us to know that we were made for worship. We were made to worship him. And we will worship him. And we will, if we give our lives to him, we will worship him. But beyond that and before that, we will worship something. Know that we will worship something. Praise ye the Lord. The next section of this outline. Last week, most of the lesson we had the tabernacle plan up on the screen. And we've talked a lot about that, and I was focusing on that altar in the right inside the gates. But Psalm 100 and verse 4, well, Psalm 100, the whole thing is just incredible. But Psalm 100 in verse 4 says, enter into his gates. Now, think about that tabernacle plan. And when you got there, you'd entered into his gates. And so you were to enter into his gates with what? With thanksgiving. I am so thankful for what has been given to me, Lord. I am so thankful for everything that you have done for me. So thankfulness is us expressing to someone, but in this case to God, being thankful for what he's done for us. And into his courts, you're walking into the tabernacle, past the gates. Now, don't forget that altar. Don't forget the altar. Because without that, the rest of this really doesn't mean a whole lot. Because it's just, oh, we're just mouthing it. Possibly. We don't want to just mouth. We don't want to have just mouth music. Just giving somebody a word just because. But you then into his courts with praise. We are praising him. We are worshiping, and it leads into our worship. And that's where those words kind of get a little bit mixed up in our minds. But praise, think about this. When you praise, that definition, what was it? Praise. Praise, expressing approval. In other words, praising somebody for something they did a really good job. If you read in the lesson, it talked about, and I am not musical at all. You know, I'm lucky if I can, you know, clap my hands right. But I'll try. No. But praise in the lesson textbook, if you read it, it talked about a praise given to someone who was a wonderful musician. They were very, very accomplished. And you praised them, and they, oh, that felt so good. But they heard you later telling someone who barely could play, hadn't played very long, and wasn't nearly as accomplished, say the very same words. You did such a good job. And in the minds of the first musician, well, they either have no idea what they're talking about, or they didn't mean what they said. Because praise, when given, can be only half-hearted sometimes. Or you are proving your ignorance about something. But I know that sometimes it's important to give praise to those that are around us, whether it was an excellent job or not, because they need to be lifted up. They need to be encouraged. But if the other person hears the same words, they may feel bad because, oh, well, you know, did they really mean what they said to me if they said that to them? I don't know. But it's this mixture of things. But praise can be pretty fickle. But praise is, I'm thankful for you because you did this for me. And so we enter into his house and we're praising him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You're awesome. You did this for me. But praise is related to something that you received. And worship, the further you get into the house of God, the more it turns to worship. And worship is just because. Just because. Just because you are who you are. You don't ever have to do anything else for me, God. I'm going to worship you just because you are who you are. I'm going to worship you just because you are who you are. In Psalm 150, we have the statement, in his sanctuary and in the firmament of his heaven, of the heavens. Praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his heaven. Firmament of his power, sorry. This is unique, and you may already know this. So if you already know this, and I am just surprised by something I didn't know, then okay. But I had never really heard the concept of the importance of how God put together the book of Psalms. Because it does kind of skip around. If you have ever read the chronological Bible, you will realize that there are Psalms that are in every section and they're not in order. But the beginning of Psalms and the end of Psalms are like bookends on a shelf that are containing everything. And they each make 10 specific points. In Psalm 1, you will read about these 10 things, that you walk not, stand not, sit not. And then you delight, meditate in the day, meditate in the night. You are planted by water. You bring forth fruit. You have unwithering leaves. And you prosper. 10 things. That in the beginning, we want these things to be established in our lives. These things need to be established in our lives. And now look at Psalm 150, and you have these things mentioned. A trumpet, psaltery, harp, timbrel, dance, stringed instruments, organs, loud cymbals, high-sounding cymbals, and everything that hath breath. Those things. Now, the combination of those things, if we think about, we need to establish Psalm 1 in our lives, in the beginning of our relationship with God, we need to work at establishing those things in our lives. And we work through our life. And by the time we get to the end, our lives should be nothing but pure worship to him. Working through what's going on in our lives. So the bookends of our relationship and walk with God are learning how to be established in him. And we're going to prosper. And It leads to our entire lives being worship and praise to Him. The seeds are planted in the beginning, and they come to full flower in worship. In Psalm 150, it says that we are to praise Him for His mighty acts. Starts in Genesis. The lesson pointed out verse 3, but you know what? I think there were some mighty acts going on even before verse 3. But God spoke, and all of this that we look outside and wonder at. Now, I know we're pretty prejudiced about how beautiful Alaska is, and I've not even seen all of it, and it's beautiful. But I've been a few other places in the world. Wyoming is beautiful. Very different, but it's beautiful. I love to be in Illinois and Missouri, and I love to see open fields. I love old barns. I love old bridges. You go to the coast and just watching the waves rolling in. But God said you're going to stop there. Because He created dry land and He made the water move aside. And I have been in the Middle East. And I have ridden, I don't remember what we rode in. I don't think we walked all the way in there. Most of the time you ride camels into Petra. And there's these huge stone walls that are wider at the bottom than they are at the top. And that's why that in Revelation, God can tell His people to go hide. And that's where they're going to hide. Because from flying over, you cannot tell it's there. The crack at the top is like no bigger than some of the cracks that happen in a desert when it dries out. That's what it looks like. And there's no idea that that's where they're hiding. Beautiful, beautiful carved out sand cliffs that narrow up. And then you walk in, and the first thing you see, and you will often, as a tourist, you'll see a lot of these pictures around when you look at Petra, but they have this huge carving, and it's the treasury. And it's like 6-7 stories high, and it's carved out of the cliff with these huge columns, and there's a door, and they don't want you to walk inside of it. But it's absolutely gorgeous. And then I've been on boats, and I have been able to see the coral underneath the sea. And so God created all of these incredible, marvelous things. He did and still does mighty acts. Mighty acts. Each one of you, I told you a few things that were that phenomenal things that I have seen. But I know each and every one of you have seen things that are even more beautiful than that. More outstanding. We could talk a long time about the beautiful, mighty things that we have seen that God created. And we could just turn the rest of the lesson over to God's mighty acts. Mighty acts of creation, but then, oh, the mighty acts that He has done in our lives, fulfilled in our lives. God did this for me. Do you have a list of God did this for me? Or I saw God do this for them. God and His mighty acts. According to His excellent greatness. Do you remember just moments ago I talked about that sometimes we get this I guess I'll praise the Lord. I might today. Oh, I'm not going to pick on you too bad, Brother Matt, but I'm tired today. I know you're going to get past that. All of us could say that. I'm a little tired today. I heard Jordan say that too. I'm tired. I didn't sleep well. Yeah. We've all been busy. All of us have been busy, but we can get into this sameness if we're not careful. And we need to realize and know that God sees the intent of our actions and what we say. He knows. And Isaiah 29 and verse 13, in the middle, beginning middle of that verse, it says, with their lips, do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. Don't ever let it be said about us. Don't let God ever say that about us. Wow. Am I just doing this because it's just what I do? And let me tell you, the longer we do this, the easier it is to just do it because you just do it. God help us for our heart to be in it, not just our mouth. Our heart needs to be in it. And lastly, in Psalm 150, there's a whole bunch of reference after we look at his mighty acts and praising him according to his excellent greatness. Then it goes into the music of Psalm 150. And again, my ignorance is going to show here, so I'm only going to really talk about what I read in the lesson because I have no experience with this. I can hear good music, and I can know that, oh, that sounds great to me, but a musician listens to it, and oh, no, that note was a little sour right there. That one wasn't quite in time. But God doesn't look at our true worship like that. No, he ends up this. How did he end it up? Let everything that hath breath. Out of tune, out of tone, tone deaf, God doesn't care. God wants our utter, complete worship. But when we look at this, this was amazing to me. That all of the instruments that are mentioned here in Psalm, and I'll go back up here, the trumpet, the psaltery, the harp, the timbrel, the dance, the stringed instruments, the organs, the loud cymbals, the high cymbals, and then everything that hath breath, is a representation of an entire orchestra. Now, I don't know this from experience. I just know it from what I read. And an entire orchestra has the ability to play any genre of music. But God wants our orchestra, our worship, our lives to be about him and the genre of what he wants to hear. Now, I know we could really get into genres of music, and you can put Christian words to any of it. There is something deep within me that loves to hear the music around, I'm trying to think of an author and I think, is it David Green? I'm going in the Wayback Machine. If you're younger, you may not even know his music. But he likes to have music in the flats, and it's very Middle Eastern. And there's something within me that is drawn by that music. I happen to also like Southern Gospel. When I came in the church, quartet music was really popular in Mom and Dad's home. I love quartet music. I loved the Imperials. I loved the Gaither Vocal Band. The Blackwood Brothers. All of those old quartets. That's what I came, when I came in the church. That's what I loved. I can also listen to the music that my mom wrote for hours. And others may not like her voice. They may not like this. They might not like that. And we all have those feelings about music. But God, no matter where we are coming from, when our life is in worship to Him, He loves it. Because it's from us. So this orchestra that God wants us to participate in and live out and practice and grow into, this orchestra of Psalm 150, God wants it just to be from our heart. Just, not just from our mouth. Not just singing those old songs in the songbook. That if you've sang them as long as some of us have, you don't even have to have the book. Do you see Pastor Glover with a book and he's not even always looking at the screen? He knows them. Now, I can't by myself necessarily quote all of the verses, but if I'm singing them, I can do it. But we can memorize. We can do it so much and so many times that it's no longer from here. It's no longer from our heart. It's just words. And God does not want our worship to just be, oh, God, you're so good. You're so merciful. I'm thankful that you show mercy and you give me grace and we get into this rote. And we just go through it, go through the motions. But God doesn't want us to be that way. He wants us to give everything to Him from our heart. We start praising the Lord with only one part of our life. This is, or it's a solo performance. We're only, do you remember when you were just so thankful that you knew He loved you? You didn't even understand how much He loved you. You just barely learned that He loved you. But you were thankful for it, and you thanked Him for every little thing, but it was this solo performance. And as you live with Him and let Him work in your life and do things in your life, every part of your life starts to be an act of worship. Where you go, what you do, the things you say, the interactions you have. After a while, God wants all of that to be an act of worship. The entire orchestra involved in worship. Our whole lives involved in worship. And so if you have your Bible or a device, or Brother Levi, if you'll put Psalm 150 up on the screen, let's read it together. Ready? Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him in the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. God bless you very much, and I'm looking forward to worship and praise in the service, and whatever God has for us, I want it.